Now, come on. Come on now. I'm a fire preacher now. I said, let's give God some praise. Has he done anything for you today? Has he done anything for you this week, this month, this year? Come on, give him a praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to first thank God, who's the head of my life, the source of my strength. I would like to thank my beautiful wife, Brittany, my beautiful kids. I'd like to thank my church home. I really love my church. I love my church. This truly is a place of healing. It is a hospital. And I just cannot thank you enough. So do not put the attention on me. I want you to focus on Jesus today. There's going to be a word in the house that the Lord had put on my heart for the last 3 months. And the Lord told me that every message that I preach, I'm going to have to experience some way, some form. But the Lord has given me specific instructions for you today. There's an anointing that's going to come over the place. But it cannot come until everyone comes on one accord. I know there's a lot of spectators that come to church. There's a lot of people that has broken hearts that's in the church. And there's revival that needs to be set in the house. People are tired. People are going weary. And people need a fresh anointing. So the key instruction today is everyone from the left to the right to the left, from the back to the front, you have to be on one accord. Now, how many people need a revival? Okay. Now, we know last year when the Cleveland Cavaliers won the championship, we were jumping our socks off in our bedrooms or our living rooms. I said, who needs a revival? Come on, give it to them. Give it to them. Holy Spirit, come into the place now. Come on, Holy Spirit, move right now. Move right now, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you that we can come together. Holy Spirit, move like never before. Cancel out all the naysayers, all the people who's come to speculate. Get me out of the way, God. We depend on you right now, Holy Spirit. Speak through me to reach your people. And Father, help us right now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you remain standing, you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Romans. And this is quite funny. Pastor Locke had preached on this particular chapter I'm getting ready to preach. And it was like 3 weeks ago, and I said, oh, man, he didn't got my message. So I was like, I hope the people don't remember the scripture that he preached on. But it's all good. Amen. And I'm going to be reading from the NLT version. Now, I want you to listen to this. Starting with verse 14, chapter 7, verse 14. So the trouble is not with the law. for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. Verse 15. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Verse 16. But if I know what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. Verse 17. So I am not the one doing the wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. Verse 18. And I know that nothing good lives in me. That is in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. We're going to take it to verse 25, but go to 20 all the way to 25. Verse 20. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart. But there's another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that's still within me. Oh, what miserable person, King James Version says, oh, wretched man I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God. Somebody say, thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law. But because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. You may be seated. The Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. I want to preach for a minute using as a subject, I need the anointing to deal with me. Look at somebody and say, I need the anointing to deal with me. Ladies and gentlemen, notice our reaction when the text was read. Immediately, it felt like the room became uneasy and extra baffled, simply because we are fighting within our own minds, having to deal with the relationship to the text. Honestly, the easiest way to deal with this is to simply say, as so many theologians and so many writers have said, they said, this is not the situation for the child of God. That this has to be a sinner. Some of the arguments is that Romans chapter 8, verse 1, is in contrast with Romans chapter 7, verse 14 through 25. Because Romans chapter 8, verse 1 deals with the new life. However, with careful study of chapter 8, you will notice a paradox between the new life of the believer and the struggle that one has internally. As we seek to climb to where Jesus is every day. If you check in chapter 8, there are places that are outlined that is a paradox between good and evil, even in the life of the believer. In And if you simply go by your experience, not how we market salvation, but go by what you're going through. And if you're really truthful today and have the courage to face yourself, you can see somehow maybe I just might fit in Romans chapter 7, verse 14 through 25. I want to take you to an inside journey. There's no sense of God making me wealthy and I'm living an abundant life if he doesn't change my inside. When you check Paul's writings, particularly in chapter 6, 7, and 8, there's no place where Paul implies that the child of God will not struggle as long as they are in this body. But the problem is that the church, we don't want to deal with this type of stuff. And truthfully, the sad thing is the church is the very, very last place where you can come and tell somebody you got a problem. It's like I'm not supposed to be hurting. It's like I'm not supposed to be feeling the way I feel. It's like I'm not supposed to be mad with people. It's like I'm not supposed to be mad with God and with myself. It's like I'm not supposed to be irritated with phony people. You really don't have no idea the feeling that I have when I come to church. And with all the feelings that I'm going through, it's a miracle that I even showed up this morning. It's a miracle, but then I got folk that's so focused on what's going on around the church and what's going around the leadership that has nothing to do with us. And I'm sitting over here decaying and dying on the inside. And at the bottom of my soul is crying out, will somebody please help me? It's a shame that I got to come to church and put on this poker face. Like everything is all right. I want to talk to you a minute about the struggle. The struggle is in the flesh because we are in the flesh. And the Lord gave us this illumination that as long as that we are in these bodies, we're always going to have a war with the flesh. You're wrapped up in flesh to where it wants to pull you negatively. And Jesus, when he got to Gethsemane, he knew his mission. His mission was to be slain from the foundation of the world. So in other words, Jesus was born to die. And when he got to Gethsemane, he began to pray to his Father. And he began to pray like this. He said, all things are possible unto you. And Jesus began to deal with the knowledge that he had. And the knowledge that he had was, your parameters are limitless. You can do what you want to do and say what you want to say, and it will be all right. I need you to just adjust your plan for me because everything is possible. I know you got a plan B. You can find another way to save these people. Because right now, I don't really want to go through this. I wonder if this is how you feel. I could tell you I felt like that. See, I know what I've been called to do. And I know what I've been chosen to do. I know that there's an assignment that's marked for me. But right now, I really don't want to go through this. I know you knew that who would be born and who would like you, who wouldn't like you. And I know you want me to go down this pathway, but God, I don't really want to go through this. I know you want to cut people out of my life, but I don't want you to do that, God. I need these people. And I know you got the solution somewhere, but I don't really want to go through this. Yeah, God, I know I ought to praise you, but I don't feel like praising you. I know I ought to lift you up, but I don't feel like lifting you up. I know I ought to tell the devil no and get away from my house, but I don't feel like doing this. And you got the power to change it for me, God. If you love me, why don't you go outside of my struggle? You got an answer. So Jesus continues to pray. He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass. The measure of agony is, let it pass. But the measure of destiny is, if it's possible, change it. But how am I going to get a name above every name if I don't go through what I got to go through? And see, we want to exclude the agony, but we still want the destiny. But what God is saying today is that you got to go through what I put you through in order to be what I want you to be. And I want to be without going through. God said, no. It don't work like that. You got to go through what you got to go through in order to be what I got you to be. If I'm going to give you a name that's above every name, you got to go lower than a rat just to touch mankind. I want you to touch somebody and say, if you want the blessing, you got to have the struggle. If you want the prize, you got to go through the process. If you want the anointing, you got to go through some pain. Now give God some praise. I was told as a child that to never ever question God. But yet when I read the Bible, I see Jesus hanging on the cross and said, my God, why? And there are times that you just want to know why. If he would just open you up and tell you why, you can get through it. If he would just show you every last detail, you can get through it. There are times that he just won't tell you why. He just said, you just got to trust me in the middle of it. I'm not going to give you an answer. I'm not going to give you a word. Now notice Jesus' response. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And there are times in life where I want to do things for God, but I just do it because he wants me to do it. I really don't want to do it. In fact, sometimes it's not fun. I'm not getting any enjoyment out of it. It's just simply, Lord, I'm doing it for you. I don't want to talk to him, God, but I'll talk to him for you. I don't want to talk to these church folk, God, but I'll talk to them for you. I don't want to face them at work tomorrow, God, but I'll face them for you. I don't want to help people in my family because I know they're going to use me, but I'll help them for you. I don't want to go through it, but I'll go through it for you that you might get the glory in my pain. You got to understand sometimes that the pain is so great for me. The pain is so great for me that I cannot will it of myself. It has to be God's will in order for me to do it. Because there's nothing in me that wants to do it. I'm not willing to receive the pain. I'm only willing to do your will. But if I got to have the pain to do your will, I'll take the pain. But there's nothing in me that wants to take the pain. It's just that my spirit is connected with your spirit that when I'm not willing, I'll trust you to give me the anointing to take the pain. See, God's going to get us to the point to where we have to deal with ourselves. And some of us believe that revelatory experience is for somebody else. However, revelatory experience is not just for somebody else, it's for you as well. In other words, God gives me nothing for you that I can't use for me. So, Brother Bill, before I come to you, I got to deal with me. But we don't want to deal. We want to deal with others. We don't want to deal with ourselves. But the devil's a lie. You're going to deal with yourself today because God is saying, I got all your blessings wrapped up, but you're not. And then when I get you ready, the blessings will flow. But you got to deal with the truth. Without me, you can't do nothing because there ain't nothing good in you. I'm the only good that you have. Come on, you better tell somebody, tell them you coming out. Grab somebody, tell them you coming out. You coming out today. Come on, tell them you coming out today. Yeah, you think your flesh is all good, but you coming out today. want to take it to another level here. Paul shines a light on this thing called self-awareness. That it does not matter how you deal with the outside, you got to come to grips on who you are on the inside based with your relationship with God. You remember Job? Job was a general in the Old Testament. The Bible talks about Job being perfect, upright, and he hates evil. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 14, verses 13 through 14, the Lord tells the prophet that if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, if they were in Israel, I would deliver them because of their righteousness, saith the Lord. Basically, God was saying was everybody else can't get out but them. And then in James 5 and 11, he says, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard the patience of Job. When we read these scriptures about Job from the Old Testament to the New, one has to think that Job has it all together and he's on top of his game spiritually. But then when I decided to read Job myself and him speaking about himself, it seems that he sees himself so little or nothing. In Job 42 and 6, he says, therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. And here it seems that Job has the inner power because now he realizes that if I'm going to do anything and be anything, God's got to do it. See, it does not matter how much money I have. It does not matter how many sermons I preach. It does not matter the education or the degrees that I have. It doesn't even like me if it doesn't matter if you like me or not. It does not matter how people pat me on the back, but I know myself. I know the thoughts that I have to have when I'm trying to do the will of God. I know that I don't want things for people to know about me. I know about the struggles that I have in the night. And I got to admit to God, when everybody else has pat me on the back, God, I'm not worthy. And God, if you don't help me, I'll never make it. I just wish that I can come into a church and tell someone, please help me. Because when I see myself, I don't see myself how like you see me. But I see myself empty. I see myself raggedy. I see myself sinful. I see myself so empty. And if I don't lean on God, I'll never have a single victory in my life. And once you get to that place, God said, I'll pick you up. And I'll make you overcome. You got to understand here, Daniel even cries, lest, O Lord, we have sinned. Isaiah, the chief among prophets, cries out, woe is me, for I am undone. Paul even says that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, foremost of who I am. See, I hope you really see this because the closer that you get to Jesus, the less important you become. And one problem with the church universally is that we got the audacity to compare ourselves with one another. Like we somebody special, like we then died and rose from the dead for each other. But I dare you right now to focus on Jesus. I dare you to focus on Jesus right now. And then you'll throw up your hands. I bet you throw up your hands and you say, in me that's in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Second Corinthians 10 verse 7. You don't have to change it. Change to it. I'm going to read it. Paul does something that's very, very spectacular. He says, do you look on the outward appearance? Now, most of us would, if I was to ask you that question, you'll come to me and say, no, I use discernment. But you don't have discernment all like that. Because had you would have had discernment, you wouldn't have had a divorce after your first year of marriage. If you had discernment all like that, we ain't gonna go there. If you had discernment like that, you should have stayed on that job or you should have not even took that job when you knew it was going to be a layoff. But no, you didn't want to wait on the Lord to provide for you the right job and the right pay and the right location. Now you got to wonder if you have a job. I thought you had discernment. If you got discernment. How come that roof is falling in at your house that you just bought? Oh, they fooled me. Oh, I thought you had discernment. Most of us, check this out. We all look from the outward appearance. If you was to see a fine brother that walks up here and has $3,000 Brome suits and Zello ties, and he has a helicopter with his name on it and a house on the hills and a house in Florida, you would say he got some money or a lot of credit, because you're looking at the outward appearance. If I should go here. So you look at the outward appearance, and now you make your judgment on the outside. But you know everything that you struggle with on the inside. You know, when tax season came, you had a very, very hard time telling the truth about your earnings, even though you are sanctified. You know, when you're trying to do the will of God and you're walking pure before him, but you got a serious wrestle for your flesh, and you at home all alone, you having a very, very hard time trying to maintain yourself, especially when there's free access with a phone call or with a website, even though you are sanctified. You know, when you're trying to have a good day at work and you got your coworkers and the management trying to make you cuss, after you didn't promise God and yourself that you ain't gonna cuss no more, but you keep allowing these plastic, trifling, ridiculous people trying to get you off your game. You know, you're having a ridiculous rough time, because the more they're trying to make you mad, the more of that word is starting to rise up, even though you are sanctified. But the crazy thing about this is, you got people that want to pray for you, and they want to get all loud about your business. But when it comes to them praying for themselves, they get real quiet. No, we want to know, who was you praying to? Because I've never heard a child of God come out and just say, "Lord, help my lying lips and keep my bad attitude from overflowing in my spirit." If you know you got issues and you praying for somebody else, give the same respect to others that you would give yourself. I want to talk about self-awareness real quick. You got to understand, when I look at this particular text, I feel like Walt Whitman when he said, "I think I can turn and live with animals. They do not swear and whine about their condition. They do not lie away in the dark and weep for their sins." Walt says, "I don't want to deal with this stuff. It's everybody else's fault. I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to face myself. I want to blame others for not making me happy." And you got to understand today that God wants you to be at a place to where he can deal with you. But he wants you in the place first that you can deal with yourself. Because God said, before I can take you to where I want you to be, I got to take care of you through this process of dealing with yourself. See, self-awareness is a monster to me, because I don't want to deal with me. I want to deal with others. This awareness exposes how I think. It exposes my attitude and my dispositions. The Holy Spirit shines a light on me and makes me feel like nothing. See, I thought I was the man. I had it all together until God got in there. And then I found myself crying, "Woe is me, for I am undone." I thought it was something to hide, but I found out after reading Romans chapter 7 and some of the Psalms, I found out that this is the place that God wants me to be at right now. See, he doesn't want me to be concerned about what's going on around me. He just wants to be me to be at a place where he deals with me and I deal with him. And see, at this time of self-awareness, you will see yourself with the inability to do what it takes. So this stimulates an awareness of your needs. And anybody who sees themselves sees their needs. Now you got to deal with, are you able to meet your need? And when you can't find yourself where you can meet your need, anxiety sets in. And now you become very worried because there's certain things that you want to do for God, but it does not perform right. So even though I want to do the right, I fight in my mind and in my spirit to do everything good. See, it's not easy for me because I can't find within myself the power to do good. So that's why in relationships, we lean on others to make us feel happy. And it's unfair to lean on others when people have a hard time having happiness with themselves. And see, we blame others and we be very hard on others while we're making them the object of our hatred because they have failed to make us happy. See, this self-awareness brings worry and now guilt because now I'm saying to myself, I ought to have this by now. Can you imagine going to someone or something that you don't want to, but you have no other choice because you have no power on the inside? I don't want to reach for them, but that's all I'm drawn to. So now I become a slave to it. There is a need that will bring you into captivity because you don't know what else to do. There are times when lives and then minds are messed up because people have become slaves to needs and needs to people and things. Something keeps pulling me and drawing me that I want to cut free from. And it becomes a burden. It becomes a yoke. So now I just wish that I can be like the animals and just walk away. So now what I do is I come to church. And church now becomes a drug for me to where I get high for a moment. But now I got to go back and deal with the loneliness and that depression of that room. After I've shouted, I got to go back and deal with the family that torments me mentally, physically, and emotionally. After I leave this great congregation and I'm left to myself with monsters on the inside, how do I overcome what's going on the inside? When I don't want to pick up the phone and I don't want to go on social media, but I feel so broken and I feel so alone. If you do not understand it today, you're going to go back to what you used to do. If you don't understand it today, you're going to call who you're trying to get away from. If you don't understand it today, you'll be wrapped up in something that you're trying to get away from. And all God is saying to you today is don't lie to yourself. Just admit it. Admit that you got a problem. Admit that you can't do this. And don't let others make you play the hypocrite. God said, when you cry out, I'll be there to help you out. God said, I brought you here today to confess with your mouth. Lord, makeup can't cover this. My new clothes can't cover this. My new car can't cover this. My money can't cover this. Lord, I need you to help me. I dare somebody stand on their feet right now and cry out, Lord, help me. I dare somebody to cry out, Lord, help me. So this writer has grown until where now he hates sin and now he hates his own weakness. And he says here, I'm not producing like I ought to. I get sick of myself when others talk negative and they make me think negative. I get sick of myself when I'm complaining instead of praising. I get sick of myself when I should be lifting them up and instead I'm just sitting because I got issues going on. I get sick of myself when I ought to have the power by now. I get sick of myself because I don't have what the next person has, as if God can't provide for me. I get sick of myself when others ask me to do things, and then I get an attitude because of the workload. But I'm the first one complaining when nothing's getting done. I get sick of myself when I should be telling the devil, get out of my house. But when I go to my own house turns me against myself. I get sick of me because I keep lowering my standards and selling it for just anybody. I'm in church, but I need more power. I'm in church, but I need more deliverance. I'm in church, but I need more anointing. I'm in church, but I got to tell the enemy I got victory, not in me, but in the Spirit of God. I dare somebody to cry and say, I got the victory. Come on, say, I got the victory. Come on, say, I got the victory. Now give God some praise. Come on, come on, come on. Don't y'all play on me now. Come on, come on. I told you when you get on one accord, something's going to happen in the house today. Give him a praise. Come on, give him a praise. How many got some burdens that God, did you want God to lift up? Lift your hands even right now. Come on, lift your hands right now. We need a revival in this place. Ain't playing no more. No more games. No more games. We need to cry out to God. The Lord said, that's it. No more. No more. The Holy Spirit. Say this. When David was in his mess, God exposed him. Not only for his generation, but for all of us to see. That God does not only work in your victories, but he works in your defeat. And if you're not honest today and admit to God that you need help while he has you covered, he's going to pull the cover off and expose you to where you're going to have to reach into his bosom and say, God, bring me out. David was a mess, but he said, Lord, whatever you do, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. I know I've been a mess, God. I know I ain't been rolling with you right. I know I've been doing some foul when nobody been watching. I know I claim to be a Christian, but in public, I'm all good, but in private, I'm not acting like it. But Lord, don't take your spirit from me. I ain't got nowhere else to go, God. If you take that, I ain't got nowhere else to turn to. If you take that, leave that Holy Spirit. Hear some of you saying they talk about me on the job. They're trying to walk all over me and my family. They're looking at me different when I come to church. People are leaving me left and right. People just dropping off, whether if they dying or if they just don't want to be bothered with me. But Lord, it's okay. Let them go. Don't take your spirit from me. You got to keep that here, God. Now listen. I'm a manuscript preacher. I had thousands of notes. God said, that's it. It's time. This has nothing. Put this over the airwaves now. It has nothing to do with victory. This is universal. We have to stop putting a limit to God. You do not understand what's getting ready to happen with the atmosphere throughout the world. The devil is not playing with nobody. Listen. This is a revelation for you, for those who are dealing with low self-esteem. When you know who you are, you become a threat to whoever you come into. The devil knows who he is. He knows he's a liar. He knows what he's trying to do. You think he's half-stepping in what he's doing? He's been doing this ever since the garden. And he's sitting back laughing because he's getting the church to start acting like the world. I'm not a judgment preacher. I don't preach judgment unless God tells me to. I build, I encourage, I strengthen. But I'm telling you now, even me, I'm not going to be standing up here and not preaching to myself. I got some things I got to take care of. I got some stuff that I wrestle with in my mind. I got people who I want to say a couple words to at work. That doesn't matter because I'm holding the mic. And we have to stop building up people so much when we put them on the platform and we forget that they're human. Now, you know, somebody say you know. The Holy Spirit is here now. I'm going to be bold to even say this. Honestly, I know he's here. Doesn't matter if you think he's not, if he is or not. He's here. Matter of fact, he was here before all of us came here today. Because he knew that somebody needs a revival. Somebody needs a touch. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to really, really give yourself an internal look. You know you got yokes. Why are you trying to perpetrate like you don't? You know you got issues. You know you got weights around your neck. They're going to be broken today. You know you need a revival in your spirit. I'm going to show of hands again. How many needs a revival in their spirit? How many have yokes? Come on, be honest. You can't lie to the Holy Spirit. Okay, put your hands down. I'm going to ask you one more question. How many want them yokes to be broken today? Come up to the altar now. Don't second guess it. Come. Don't think about it. Come. I don't care if you're a musician. I don't care if you're on the praise team. I don't care if you're on the hospital team. I don't care if you're the parking lot ministry. You get to this altar right now. You know you got yokes. Look at this. Let me tell you something real quick. The enemy enemy did not want me to preach this message today. I was telling the team in the back that I was typing, getting my stuff together. I put my stuff on the jump drive. Got all my messages, all my teachings that I do, stuff I did with school. Had all that stuff. And I go to print it, and it said, error. Now, I've been working on this thing for a while, and I kept hitting save, 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 save. So when I'm done, I can edit what I need to edit, and then I hit save again, and then I can go print it. So I go to print it, error. File cannot be located. So I'm mad. I'm coming in the house like, babe, my jump drive ain't working, man. She's like, oh, man, I know what that means. You're going to be up for all night. I was up for 2.5 days typing, retyping everything because the jump drive said error. And I can hear the enemy laugh and say, yep, yep, yep. When you really wanted to rest, I was making you work to get your mind off of what you got to do. But look what God has done. Now, I don't know if you're serious. I can only go by what I see. But the Holy Spirit knows. If you got some serious yokes that you want come off of you, what did I tell you guys was the first thing to do? Be on one accord. You got to be on one accord. If you want the anointing in life to come into your life, to burn everything up off, it's going to happen. You know, the sign of deliverance is when the tears come out, when the hands go up. You start crying out, that anointing comes from the inside out. It's pushing everything out. So what I want you to do, and listen to specific instructions, I want you to lift your hands. Come on, lift your hands. Tell the Lord, break my yokes. Come on, break. Come on, tell him, tell him, tell him, tell him, tell him, tell him. Holy Spirit, break these yokes right now in the name of Jesus. Break them right now in the name of Jesus. Change these minds right now in the name of Jesus. Give them a new heart right now in the name of Jesus. Fill them up, God. Fill them up. Give them the anointing even right now, God. Touch them, God. Somebody cry out to them. Cry out to them. Come on, come on, come on. There it is, there it is, there it is. Was Wade? Wade here? Thank you. need the anointing, God. We need the anointing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now listen. I don't believe in just saying things. I believe in doing things. So there has to be some type of evidence. Now I'm going to be bold. I'm going to say this. I want everybody, whether you up here, here, or here, if you ask God to release the yoke, I want you to do something for me. I want you by faith to do your neck like this. Come on, do it in the spirit. Do you feel anything? Do you feel anything? God just broke the yoke off your neck. You got one more thing. Now I want everybody to go like this. Bend at the waist. Come on, do it in the Holy Ghost. Come on, do it in the Holy Ghost. 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 You feel anything? God said, I just broke the yoke off your shoulders. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it's about to be a fire. I'm telling you, if y'all would just catch on, it's going to catch on, it's going to catch on, it's going to ignite, it's going to ignite, it's going to ignite. I want to feel the fire of God. Hallelujah. I just heard the Spirit say, do it again, do it again. Do it in the Holy Ghost. Do it again, do it again. 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 Hallelujah, do it again. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God just told me to tell you, God just told me to tell you that every time that the enemy tries to play with your mind, you give him a reminder. Hallelujah. I dare not leave this place without extending salvation to someone. Saying, preach, I've been going through so much in life. It seems like there's nothing but roller coasters in my life. When I'm going to get off of it? And we forget that it is God that strategic puts the roller coasters together. The vision that I see with a lot of people here is you're standing waiting to get on a roller coaster because you think it's just a thrill ride. You really don't understand what you're asking God. See, some of us ask God to say, God, use me this way, use me that way, use me this, I want this, I want this. And then God puts you up there and he straps you down. It's the first thing you say, uh-oh. And there's a roller coaster in a lot of your life where it's just a lot of corkscrews. If that Holy Spirit wasn't strapping you down, you would have fell off a long time ago. There's somebody here today that's saying, Jesus, I need you. Now, there's a difference between saying, Lord, I want to be saved, and Lord, be the Lord of my life. It's a difference? Is there one that desires to come to God today? Anyone? Is anybody who wants to make a rededication to God? If not, it's all good. We all save. Amen. Now, this week, I'm telling you, you're going to have to remind the enemy of what you did today. Because he's very, very upset right now that all these yokes got broken. Now, only you know if you was for real, you and God. So if you leave out of here and you still have that on your neck, no, that wasn't right. Amen.
Can we give God some praise? Come on, we can do better than that. Let's give God some praise. Come on, we got to do better than that. He took us out of our comfort zones today. He took us out of our comfort zones today, and we need that. We need to come out of our comfort zones. It's not church as usual. It's not getting that check mark off because I went to church today. Great word, brother. God truly used you. God truly used you. I'm going to speak the best blessing real quick. If you can stop where you are, just raise your hands. We won't be long. Just raise your hands. You keep your eyes open. Father, we thank you today. I speak the blessing over your people, Lord God. I ask you to bless their finances, their homes, their marriages, Father God, their children, Lord God. Everything that they put their hands to, Lord God, we just ask that you bless it today, Lord God. And Father God, in you blessing it, Lord God, and it overflowing, Father God, give us the ability and the desire to do what? Hug somebody. God bless you.